You're listening to
Hey everybody, and welcome to Sci-Fi Dig show number I have no idea. And today we're going to do a digger chat. This has been a long time in the making here. We were going to do this 2 weeks ago, and I had some computer issues, which I finally ironed out. And so now, in the meantime, Nick and I have been texting back and forth, and we are soulmates, apparently, because there's so many things we have in common. So this is going to be kind of a free-for-all. I'll try to let you know when we're entering spoiler territory, but understand that this is no holds barred. We're going to have discussions of two guys just talking about what we like, and there's going to be spoilers and things like that. So I will try to give some sort of warning when we get that far. And if there's a problem, then people can skip over that part or whatever. Anyway, I finally got my computer problem all fixed. It was all my fault. It wasn't the computer's fault. You know, I decided that it was all on me because I've been transferring data over every time I buy a new machine. I just do the transfer thing because I'm lazy. And apparently, you can only do that 3 or 4 times before your computer says, you know what? Yeah, it's not going to work anymore. So, but everything is like screaming fast now. It's crazy ridiculous. I put a brand new, fresh install on here, and manually installed every program on here again, brought no data over other than my iTunes folder, which is huge. And I cannot believe how little space takes up on my hard drive. Sad thing is, when it's all said and done, bought 2 hard drives, probably didn't need. But, you know, hey, it all works now. And then this morning, I was my daughter's just having a really bad week, and I thought I would be nice and run up to Target and buy her a CD up there that was a Target exclusive. I forgot about the road construction. Didn't miss that at all. I've been working on that road for, I don't know, most of my life. And
I hear that.
So I had to wait to get through the road construction, which was fine. It was like 5 minutes. It was no big deal. Well, then I come back, and the light on my side was green, so I went because green means go. And I got halfway through the construction site, and the guy starts waving his hands at me. He's like, you got to back up. And I'm like, okay. So I backed the whole way up, and then he comes up. He's like, well, was your light green? And I said, yeah. And he's like, okay. So then he's standing there, and the light keeps changing, but he's holding up traffic. It keeps changing green, red, green. And they start, the truck's taking the barriers out of the road or something, and then he wanders off, and the light turns green, and there's a guy trying to pull in front of me. I said, go ahead. And he's like, just kind of holds his hands up in the air. I was like, what's going on? I was like, no idea. Let's just go and see what happens, you know? Apparently, they're not real big on the direction. I'm like, so I sat there for a good 15, 20 minutes. Wasn't a happy camper about that, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
I got everything timed in. I wanted to be in and be out, and that just did not work out for me. But anyway, so let's do some upcoming DVD releases, and then we'll jump into other topics. But I wanted to cover a couple things that came out today that I had not even realized that Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter Slayer person came out today. Haven't heard really anything about the movie. The book was excellent, but I'm tending to think from the trailers I've seen of the film, it's not a whole lot like the book. Looks like a lot more action-y. So, but I still wouldn't mind checking it out. Also today, we got a new Blade Runner. The 30th anniversary edition, and I don't understand how many versions of this we can get. You know, we waited so long to get an ultimate edition with it had all the different variations, but I can't tell if there's anything new in this. I'm trying to look over this, and I can't tell the difference between this and the one that came out last year or whatever. That came in the suitcase. This one's just under $60 for the 4-disc Blu-ray DVD plus Ultraviolet digital combo digital copy combo pack. There's a lot of things to say there. But I can't find out. I can't see any difference. So if anybody out there knows any information, I'd be interested. Although I like Blade Runner, I think that they've kind of run it in the ground this last year, really trying to get every dollar out of it that they could. Lost Girl Season 1 is available. If people haven't seen that, I highly recommend it. I believe that the Blu-ray was $6 more than the regular when I was at Target today. And it was right around $30, $35, somewhere around there. Highly recommend it, but if you're like me, you can just sit around and wait for the prices to fall, because that's what I do. That's how I end up buying my DVDs, unless it's something I really have to have, like, you know, like the Avengers. I bought that the day it came out, obviously. For October 30th, the only couple things I see coming up here that are pretty cool is Rosemary's Baby is going to get a Blu-ray and DVD re-release, and we're going to get All in the Family on DVD, which has been a long time coming. It's a great show. I know that some people find it offensive, but it's a great slice of American television history and what they were able to do with that. So there was a lot of pop culture references, a lot of things that have been kind of intertwined in our history, and it's just a show that, I mean, it made me laugh. So we're also going to get the Universal Monsters box set, which is it comes in a coffin. And it's $100. I've been looking at this. Actually, I believe if you look, you can probably find maybe a cheaper version if you buy it from Amazon UK. But this includes Dracula, Frankenstein, The Mummy, The Invisible Man, The Bride of Frankenstein, The Wolfman, The Phantom of the Opera, The Creature from the Black Lagoon, and you know, those are all great things, but for $99, if you look around, I would suggest that you could buy all the legacy editions, which as far as I'm concerned, is the way to go. I mean, I know this is on Blu-ray, but the legacy edition, the quality is fantastic, and you could probably get them cheaper than that, and you're going to get a lot more movies and a lot more background, a lot more history on them. That's what I would recommend. I have the Frankenstein one, and I always wished I had purchased the Creature from the Black Lagoon one, and it's no longer available, so it's like, if you find it on Amazon, it's like super expensive. But I think the Creature of Black Lagoon is one of those movies that was just a good movie, let alone, you know, it's kind of like Frankenstein, it's just a good movie. Yeah, we had the horror aspect, but it was actually a good movie that made sense, you know. But highly recommend that. If you live in the UK, I'm almost done, I promise. You're going to get Doctor Who Series 7 Part 1, which is the Weeping Angels Limited Edition Blu-ray. And you're going to get you're also going to get the regular Part 1 that just isn't, there's nothing special about it, but apparently the Blu-ray edition is quite a bit more. It's looks like it's about 6 pounds more. You're going to get Red Tails, which isn't really science fiction, but and that is about all that I see that's science fiction, unless you into Power Rangers, in which case you're going to get Samurai Volume 1, The Team Unites. And that's about all that there is. Nothing great as far as science fiction there, although we're going to get some Doctor Who titles. Anyway, so that's the DVD releases. That was pretty exciting, not. And so, Nick, what's up with you?
Nothing much. Just enjoying a Coke Zero here at the moment. I recently had a daughter, and so I was been up most nights, which happy to do, exciting stuff. Have learned to adjust to very little sleep, and so I've been drinking a lot of caffeinated beverages lately.
Yeah, yeah. It always makes me laugh when people have kids that that other people tell them, the sleep deprivation and blah blah blah. But you know what? Your body just adapts to it, man. I mean, you develop a routine, and it just takes a couple weeks to get that routine down. But once you get it down, it's not a big deal, you know. And the benefits are far outweigh any costs, you know, to you. You know, I mean, there's just when my kid was little, I spent many a morning in the living room holding her and watching TV with the volume the whole way down, reading all the captions, you know. Got a lot of TV watching in that way.
Oh, yeah, I've been definitely doing a lot of TV watching. Luckily, she's okay with the sound, so she doesn't wake up when she goes to sleep, but it's still on. But, yeah, as people have been asking the same question, like, aren't you super tired? And, you know, like, how are you doing it? It's like, you know, you just... my body just figures it out, and like me and my wife kind of come up with a schedule, and it just works. But sometimes I do need some caffeine.
Yeah. I've been trying to wean myself away from, I didn't drink pop. And then, because of my issues, I started drinking it because it kind of relieves some of the, the gas that I would have. And now I'm like, yeah, I'm just trying to get away from it because it's just so bad for you. I mean, not the, the calories or anything like that, but Jesus Christ, the acid in there, just, I cannot see how that would be a good thing, But yeah, I'm trying to adjust. I had this whole getting old thing. I don't remember signing up for this, and there should have been some sort of warranty warning or something. But man, last week I felt like hell, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. And here, my freaking blood pressure was through the ceiling, and I just don't understand how it got so bad, so suddenly. But then, I brought it back down, and now I'm really anal about watching what I eat and drink and things like that because I don't want to have a repeat offense. But I was telling my daughter and I go to the gym on a fairly regular basis, and she wanted to go and go yesterday. So we went, and she's like, "Oh, look, Dad, they're having a class." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And it's a kickboxing class. And she goes, "Do you want to do it?" And I said, "Well, I guess, I do about 5 miles in the morning, and I still do it whether we go to the gym or not. The gym is just a bonus." And I'm like, "Okay, if you do it, I'll do it." So we went in there, and the class was a blast. I had a really good time, but oh my God, I swore, I can't even hardly walk down steps now. I mean, those women are hardcore in there, and they weren't lying when they said it was a cardio blast, man, because it's an hour of, I'm surprised your heart doesn't come out of your chest because it's just crazy, But my God, the tops of my legs, they don't get a lot of work, even running, it's mostly in the back and the bottom, and the tops of my legs are so sore, it's like I can hardly go down steps. This is crazy. But just when you start to think you're getting in good shape, somebody shows you up and you're like, okay, they're apparently better at it than I am. But
yeah, really, it's a lot. You use a lot of muscles that you never used before. I know that I'm feeling a lot of injuries now as I'm getting older that I had before. I'm like, what the crap is this? I don't like this.
Yeah, exactly. And well, like, it's not supposed to happen. I had to go to my, I ran out of blood pressure medication. So I went, I'm sure my doctor is not going to be a happy guy, but I went down there cause I go down there periodically and have them check it. And of course I took one of my pills and she's like, "Well, your blood pressure is perfect." And I said, "Yeah, but it's perfect because I took this medication." I'm like, "I haven't taken medication for the past like 8 months because my blood pressure was getting too low." And so I stopped taking medication. I have to check my blood pressure at least 5 times a week. And it was good, no problem. And then the batteries died in my cuff. And I went for 3 weeks without checking it. And apparently, I still have no idea why it spiked. I mean, you keep your bottom number below 90. Mine was way above that. And I knew when I got a headache that had to be what happened because I don't get headaches. And I'm like, it's got to be my blood pressure. And it was really, really, really high. Luckily, I had some medication left, but I stopped in and thinking he'd just refill it. But no, he's like, "I want to see you on Monday." I was like, okay. So I know that he's going to read me the riot act. I know he's going to give me hell about it. Anyway, we've been communicating back and forth about some of the stuff on television and on this show especially. I'm a huge, huge fan of television. I love it. And so we were talking about Arrow. So you all caught up on Arrow?
Yeah, I'm all caught up. Yeah, I was just watching the next week's preview for I think Deadlock.
Yeah,
is going to be on. Yeah,
it looks like they have gotten this right thus far. We're 2 episodes in. We don't have any angsty teenagey love kind of thing going on or anything. Obviously there's going to be a romantic connection, but it's not the point of the whole show. And they definitely have the origin down, very similar to Green Arrow Year One. And I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I liked this.
What's that?
I liked the different after I just read that run, and I liked the, how similar it was, but there was like the differences, the origin differences that there were weren't story breaking or like plot breaking or anything like that.
Yeah, it seems as though that the differences that they put actually kind of adds to the story because it gives the character direction. So we're going to get into a little bit of a spoiler territory here for those people that haven't seen Arrow. I don't think I'm going to ruin anything. You find this out in the first episode. But, you know, the origin of Green Arrow is that he gets stranded on this island. He's a rich kid, and he gets stranded on this island, and that's where his training takes place, where he learns how to shoot a bow and all that. Now, we haven't dug too far down into that in the television show, but the added wrinkle to the origin here is that his dad, during the course of this disaster, tells him that he's done things he's not proud of. And we find out that his dad has been somehow involved with organized crime, and he tells his son it's up to him to make things right in their city. And so that's that. And horrible things happen. Arizona ends up surviving, but the thing is that, you know, that's the drive behind him, and the way that they set that up works so well for me. It's not like, oh, well, I got to do something with my life kind of thing. It's like, oh, you know, I'm doing this because this is what my dad asked me to do, and it was his dying wish, you know. And I am really enjoying it. My big thing when episode two came up, I thought, you know what, if we're going to get to a point where, you know, we're not going to actually try to take people out physically with arrows, if we're not willing to shoot through them and, you know, go for the kill, then this show's not going to work. And he was willing to do that, so the show, everything just kind of came together, and I am loving it. And the parkour in the show is pretty legit, man, from all the parkour stuff I've seen. I mean, he does a really good job.
I think so too. It seems like it seems like really the way they've shot it, like really fluid. And I don't know whoever is doing his stunt work or how much of it he's doing on his own, but it seems like they, you know, it just looks like it could all really happen. It doesn't seem like these crazy, you know, like parkour on steroids, or it would never work. It seems really plausible. That's what like really drew me to the Green Arrow, because it seems like, you know, he's kind of like one of those characters that he doesn't, I mean, he's not like, you know, Superman or you know, that sort of thing, where it's not like crazy superhuman powers. It's more, you know, just really like a really fit, you know, skilled person.
And it's and the fight scenes are more fluid, as opposed to doing these fight scenes where they do this close up camera thing that it's hard to follow. It's like they have a mix. They have some of that, but then they have some of the far, you know, they back up a little bit so you can actually see the whole scene. And I'm really enjoying it. I mean, this show in two episodes has become my favorite show of this television season so far. They've just done such a good job, and so many big dramatic moments in the first episode that I was shocked to see. And it just the whole thing just worked really well. I was real happy with it.
Yeah, me too. I really like it a lot. Like I was saying, I was really like pleased that they didn't make it all, you know, super teen angst, because that's what once they introduced the girl, I was like, oh no, here we go. It's going to be this whole thing about, you know, making her happy the whole time, and you know, it's going to lose the plot. But they quickly steer away from that, which is, I mean, I know there's going to be romance, obviously, like you said, but it feels like they're really going to stick to like his mission. So
Yeah, I was worried we were going to have a Smallville on our hands with,
I was thinking the same
you
thing.
know, I love her, she doesn't love me, I don't love her, she loves me, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, oh my God. And speaking of Lana Lang, have you watched Beauty and the Beast?
Not yet. It's on my list of to-dos. Because I watched it. Once you said that earlier in the week, you're like, it was the remake from the 80s or whatever with me. I was like, oh yeah, I remember watching it like here and there as a kid, and so that sparked my interest a little bit. So I do want to check it out.
Yeah, I hadn't realized that it was going to be an actual like remake, that they were going to use the same character names and everything else. And I've watched the first episode, and I think I might have missed the second episode. Because I hadn't finished watching the first one, it wasn't because I wasn't into it, just because I was tired and I kept falling asleep. It took me like three sittings to finally finish it. But the production value seemed to be there, and I'm curious. There's enough of a mystery that I'm curious. But you know, with you know the 80s one, you know, the thing was is that, you know, Vincent was more into poetry and things like that. The fact that he couldn't come to the surface because of the way he looked. The difference in this one is that the guy has some scars on his face, and he looks normal other than that, except for when he like hulks out, you know, and then apparently his face changes, because we see one scene where that happens. And I guess that could work, but I kind of like the restrictions that were placed on the original Vincent in the 80s, because the whole reason he couldn't interact, and that, you know, the whole reason that he felt alone and different was because he was different. You know, there was nothing he could do to fit in. And this guy actually could fit into society, and you just wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't know unless you got angry or whatever. And so we'll see where it goes. It's on my list, but it's a matter of there's too many good shows. And not enough time to catch up on everything that I want to watch. It's just like my DVR keeps filling up, and I'm like, how did this happen, you know? I finished, the Alpha season finale was last night. Are you an Alphas fan?
Oh, yeah. I've got that queued up. I'm going to watch that after, actually, probably we'll put this on this afternoon or after the show today. I'm really digging Alphas because I started watching it like a while back, and then I think it's just because I was watching too many things and it kind of just fell off my radar, and then I was kind of running out of things to watch. I'm like, I'm going to go back and watch Alphas. And I was like, how do I stop watching this? It's a great show.
Yeah, the first season had a lot of slow moments, though, so I could see how people drifted away, but it's really picked up. And the I don't want to give any spoilers for the season finale, but let me just say at the very end of it, you're just like, whoa. You know, that's I just hope that when they pick up the next season, that they do a better job with the cliffhanger than they did with this season. I wasn't real happy with the way season one ended and the way season two started, and we didn't really we saw like fallout weeks later, but we didn't see the actual fallout of the events happening, and it kind of I kind of wanted to see that and see what would happen. But just great acting all around, and the characters have really come a long way. They've done a good job developing them, and I'm real happy with it. It was a must-see show.
I'm really glad the way they changed Rosenberg. You know, I thought, you know, he seemed like he was gonna be like, so it's like one dimensional, and they, you know, that whole thing with his daughter and everything really made him change like his approach. And so I could definitely see him being one of those good characters that becomes bad sort of thing.
Yeah. He did a really, and the finale is you know, really kind of the icing on the cake to his acting ability and his character. It's really does revolve around he chews up a good bit of the screen time in the last episode. He does a really good job, and I was real happy with it. You know, like I said, I can't wait for that to come up again. I mean, Sci-Fi has been doing some good things. I mean, they've had some really bad series in the past, but what they got now seems to be firing on all cylinders, man. They just have some really good stuff out there. Walking Dead, you're caught up on that?
Oh, yeah, that episode was awesome. Yeah, that was a good episode.
The first 5 minutes of the season opener, oh my god, that's like some of the best 5 minutes I've ever seen on television. It just, there's no dialogue. It's just them coming in and, you know, sweeping a gas station or a convenience store kind of thing, looking for food, picking it up, not saying anything, and then getting out before the zombies find them. And it just was so well put together. And it did such a good job for setting the stage for us, because we are, you know, we realize now that they've been doing this for some time and they have it down. We don't need to see what's made them grow into a cohesive group. We just know from this one 5 minute scene that they have, you know, that the trust has grown and their ability to work together as a team has grown. And it was just so good. And I was so excited because we've had a lot of clunker episodes in the series. And it seems as though, and I've seen the second episode as well, and it seems as though everything is kind of coming together now.
Yeah, no, I agree. I really thought that from the season finale, the last season to with Rick basically saying like it's my way or the highway, and then the way it started out with the first episode where they're just, it's methodical and it's just like, okay, they're coming, we're running, they're coming, we're running, you know, quickly check the place, that kind of stuff. That it really just, I don't know, made a lot of sense that everyone's just like, okay, we're falling into line,
right?
And it's his show. And you know, it seemed more, I don't know, like more like, I guess like it would be if, you know, if it was that kind of situation where he kind of put his foot down. And, I just like the way they kind of told that story. It connected, I think, really good. It felt like, okay, that, you know, like he didn't need to explain anything. Like you said, it was just like, okay, they know what they're doing.
Right. And I think they did a good job. And it's funny because they conveyed all that information in 5 minutes with no dialogue. I just thought that was fantastic. They just did a really good job. It looks like next episode, that's when we're going to get introduced to the governor. Now, there's no way the governor is going to be like he was in the comic, because that I don't think it can show any of that on television. It was pretty graphic stuff what he did. But I'm still excited to see, you know, how it's going to work. And they've done such a good job developing these characters. You know, we're getting the character of Rick, who is, it's not that I want to say he's losing his humanity, which some people might argue. It's just that you come down to the fine line, the survival. It's like, do I let these people, you know, I come across these people, do I try to reach out to them? Or do I just, you know, show my strength and say, look, you know, this is how it is, and you're not going to, you know, be in our way and you know, what have you. And that's kind of what the next episode two is about. It's just, you know, he comes across some people and he has to make some hard choices. And at the end of the day, if you're in that same situation, I find it much more realistic. You know, it's not like, oh, let's be friends, you know.
No, I totally agree. I feel like he's at the point where he's like, I'm not going to do second chances. Like, this is my offer. And if you like backstab me or go against me, I don't have not necessarily the time, but I can't take the risk to like reach my hand out again. And I'm just going to kill you, or I'm going to do whatever I have to do.
Right. Cause now that he stepped up into the leadership role, it's my way or the highway, which means that if you can't contribute to the group and I have to watch out for the safety of these people, then, you know, this is how it's going to go. But you saw the second episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The scene where the standoff scene, when they're trying to clean out the prison, and they open the spoiler territory, people, and the guy's like, okay, open one door, and he ends up opening both of them. He's like, I said to open one. The guy was like, shit happens. And then he tries to kill Rick by throwing that zombie at him. And then Rick gets up, and that like minute standoff where they're staring at one another, and you're like, where is this going to go? Are they both going to back down? And he just puts a machete in his head. And I'm like, that's exactly how it should have gone, because that guy was trouble from the first moment, you know? And it just, you know, boils down. If you're in a situation, you do the same thing. And that's what I like. You know, it's more realistic, you know?
Yeah, no, I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, you know, because I'm watching it. AMC is not going to have him do this. He's going to do like a classic old Rick and basically threaten him. And, you know, it's going to go on. And all of a sudden, wham, he just takes him out. And I was like, that's what should have happened.
Right.
It's like, this guy's just going to like, he's going to be like on him the whole time, and he's always going to have to watch his back. And I think that's kind of what it's saying, is that, you know, he's not going to watch his back when he doesn't have to.
Right. He's developed trust with the other people. And so it's hard to have new people and trust them, because you got too many things going on. And I tell you what, I am really enjoying the divergency from the comic. I know some people complain whenever time they see a television show or a movie, and are like, it's not like the book, it's not like the comic. But for me, like, especially in the comic aspect, I'm enjoying the fact that it's diverging and we're getting fresh new stories, and it's, you know, it's new enough to me that, you know, I'm enjoying every aspect of it. Just, you know, Walking Dead was a show that, you know, I would go out of my way to make sure I watch it on Sunday usually, but there were a lot of clunkers, and I'm just like, just not feeling it. But man, this season so far, it has been so good. So many good things on television this season. I mean, so many things that are actually playing out the way that I like them, and I'm really enjoying them. You know, I'm not getting tired of, you know, as sci-fi viewers and the genre viewers, you know, we've seen things over and over again, and we kind of know what's going to happen. But it all depends on the character development and all the other details, whether or not, you know, it becomes something we can enjoy, or just like something, I knew that was going to happen kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. That's what one of the things, like, once I got past, at least for me, it was the first season of Vampire Diaries, because I had a hard time, like you did with that show, where I basically, like, I went back to it three times, and it was just because, like, so many people, like you included, was like, just keep going, like, you're gonna like it. It's like, keep going. I'm like, all right, okay, I'm gonna keep going. But like with that show, like, what I think really makes it good is they're not afraid to kill off characters that you think are major characters. So many times, like, oh, this guy's not gonna die. He's like a clear, like, important character, and then wham, kill him off.
Yeah, that's what I
And
like, you know.
it's really good. Yeah.
And the thing is, like, that's one of the reasons I think that the Walking Dead comics do so well is because nobody is safe. You mean the things happen to
Yeah.
these characters that are absolutely horrible. Whether I mean, they might not die, but my God, some of the things that happen to them are just life-altering, life-changing things, and you just have to keep pushing forward. And that's one of the things that sells the show. And you know, as far as the Vampire Diaries are concerned, for me, it was funny because I was reading a review of that, and somebody was talking about, oh, what sells the Vampire Diaries is sex appeal, and I don't get that at all. What sells it to me
Yeah.
is the whole political climate of all the different things. You know, the town has a political climate. The vampires have their own political thing going on. You know, the werewolves have a political thing. You know, and that's what really works for me, because it's like all these small nations trying to deal with one another and what they got to do to make things to get things done. You know.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. The episodes where like love triangle and teen angst, those are the ones that I can't handle. Or it's just like back and forth of Elena, Damon and Stefan. It's just like get past this.
Yeah, right.
You know,
Move forward, you
it's
know.
it's yeah, it's the other part of it's like the dynamic of the characters and like you said, like the political part. And I really like also like. Damon's like the comedy that he adds to his comedy relief. It's just enough where
Yeah.
it's part of his personality. And it's like dark. It's hilarious.
Yeah, he's the one that walks around and turns his filter off and just says what comes to his mind because, well, he's a vampire and he can kick your ass, so he can say whatever he wants, you know.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
just, you know, the thing with the Vampire Diaries, one of the things that the writing reminds me of, the way that they bring the stories together and make everything work every season, it reminds me very much of the writing of Veronica Mars, which is, you know, as far as I'm concerned, still one of the best written television shows ever made. And it works so
I
well.
love
It
that.
yeah, it's just so good. And the way that, you know, we had the teen angsty thing, but it seems as though, I don't know, the whole teen angsty angle seemed like it was really pushed in the first 5 or 6 episodes. And then after that, it was like they just allowed the characters to develop organically without having to push them, and we found out what everybody was made of, and we got into the politicking and all that stuff. And the season finale of last season, which I just watched a couple weeks ago, the way that they worked that out, you didn't see it coming, and the way everything worked out together, because the whole time you're like, what's going to happen? You know, spoiler territory, people. But you know, when Elena goes in the water, I think, well, maybe they are going to kill her off. You know, maybe they are going to kill off what's his name, the werewolf guy. You know, maybe people all are going to be dead. You know, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, and then when she ends
Yeah.
up becoming a vampire, but because she was dead, she broke the spell. With Klaus and all that, I'm like, that worked out perfectly. I didn't see that coming. It really surprised me. They did a really good job of making it all make sense, and it still all worked. They
Yeah.
were able to tie up any loose ends. They did a really fantastic job. I'm really digging it.
Yeah, I was really happy with that. I thought for sure because I was watching. I was like, well, they're not good. I was basically I given up on the. On the the fact that okay, are they going to make Elena a vampire? Like, no, never. It's never going to happen, or it's not going to happen. For a long time, because they want to stretch out this like this that that possibility, and then it happened, and I was like, I can't believe it. They actually did it. It's like this is amazing. I really like the way they ended it, and then they surprised me again in the first episode where I thought of this new season where they're like, oh okay, they're going to Bonnie, which that I don't know about you that. She drives me crazy. They're gonna like undo it somehow, and they didn't do it. And they like stuck to it. So I'm really excited to see like where like her character goes now because she's a vampire and she's gonna live forever and all that stuff with her brother and stuff. So.
Yeah, and that's the and it, and the thing is they get these points where they try to have the characters only move the story along, and it fails. But when they combine them together, it works. But at the beginning of this is what, season 5? Is it
Yeah, I
season?
think so.
Well, the beginning of season 4, I started to kind of drift away from it, because I'm like, okay, there's a lot of talking about our feelings, and nothing's ever, the story-wise, nothing is happening. Everything is going very slowly, and we're trying to have the characters move the story along rather than having the story do that, and it started to lose me. But then we got to the end of season four, and things started to pick up, and they got a lot more interesting. And I hope that they maintain this level of interest, you know, with everybody having their own thing going on, but the fact that they're friends, they're able to overcome these artificial boundaries that are put in front of them. Because, well, you know, I'm a witch, I can't be friends with a vampire. I'm a vampire, I can't be friends with a werewolf, and things like that. But it all works together. And the introduction of this new vampire slayer guy, I'm really digging him. I was like, wow, this guy is like hardcore. You know, when he come in and stab that guy's daughter just to try to draw the vampires out, and you're like, I couldn't figure out what was going on, why he did that. And then when they were in a church, and he's like, Damon's like, nobody turn around, it's a trap, because everybody can smell the blood. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, that's smart. You know, that's smart they did that, you know. Of course, you know, I take issue with the fact that the guy's outside with Damon. He shoots him like 6 times in the chest and nobody even notices, you know.
Yeah, and that part too, I was like, when he shot him, because I remember, maybe it's a different bullet, but when he first shot, what's his face, the hybrid boyfriend.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're pulling him out and they're like, you know, you would have died if you weren't a hybrid. And then Damon got shot like a billion times and he was just fine. So I was like, well, was it not the same bullets, and that's why, or, you know, so I was kind of curious about that part of it. But yeah, I was thinking the same thing when he stabbed that girl. I'm like, why is he stabbing her? I didn't get it. And then it all came together with, you know, after, you know, a few minutes, when the whole like smell of the blood and everything like that. So I thought, yeah, that was really smart. But his character seems, he seems like as confident as like a vampire would be to a human, and so that part is really interesting. Like, he's not scared, but he knows when to run.
Yeah. The other thing that has me drawn in though is when Jeremy saw the tattoos on his arms. He doesn't have tattoos on his arms, and not that anybody else can see. So you're like, okay, well, what is Jeremy's power that we don't know about? You know, how come he can see that?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the same thing too. I'm really excited to see and to kind of like make him a stronger character, and because it seems like it keeps going back to him being, you know, I hate vampires, and, you know, ruining my life, and I think they can make really elevate his character to make him like more pivotal, and, you know, not being kind of puppeted around.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I haven't been as excited for this show since like the middle of season two, when it was just like, man, this is so intense. With all the, you know, everything going on, and you know, we're going to deal more with the town council as well as what they know, and it's been real interesting. And I thought that the season would end up being about the reverend who made his power play on the town. Then he lasted for one episode, and then he's gone. And I'm like, but they built that up, so you thought, well, man, this is what it's going to be about. They're going to be trying to hunt all the vampires down. But that's not how it played out. And again, surprised me. And I like that. I like the fact that they're able to surprise me doing that stuff. You know. How about Revolution?
Yeah, I love that show. I love that. I'm so excited about that show. And I know obviously it's an important thing, but next week's episode is going to be pushed to the following week because of the presidential debate.
Right.
I'm really excited about that show. I thought that I think that the what's his face, the character that plays I forget his name, Matheson, the one that's not dead.
Yeah.
Billy.
Yeah.
At least something. He's like an awesome actor.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking about the guy that played the dad in Twilight.
Yeah, that guy.
I'm not sure. He certainly he did that only for the paycheck, because he doesn't get to do anything in Twilight. Don't get me wrong, he's a better actor than what's her face, but you know, when I saw him in this, and then that first episode with those fight scenes, you know, I mean, there's some issues I have with it. Like, I don't understand why everybody's clothes are so darn clean. How do they wash them, and when do they have time? And I don't understand that part of it. But I do, I am enjoying that now we are uncovering the past of all the other characters, and the fact that that one guy used to be an insurance adjuster and things like that. It just really, you start having sympathy for him, because he was a good guy. He tried not to use violence to answer his questions, you know, but, it's interesting to see how he developed. You know, he had a lot of terrible things happen to him, and that's why he's the way that he is. But I'm kind of digging it. I know that there are some issues people were having with the fact that he has, you know, with the whole power thing, how these necklaces are able to generate power. But, you know, I'm kind of looking at it as maybe there's a steady EMP that is keeping all the power from working, and then when you bring this thing around, it blocks that anything in the vicinity. That's how I'm looking at it, but I don't really know.
Yeah, that's the same way I thought about it. Not that it's not generating power; it's just creating a field to block the whatever's stopping the power.
Yeah, but I'm still enjoying the show. I know some people were having some mixed feelings about it, and yeah, I mean the thing is you're trying to do this post-apocalyptic thing. They should do something more. The character shouldn't be so pretty, you know, but I'm still digging the story, doing a really good job with it, and as long as I'm enjoying it, I keep on watching it, you know. Yeah, I could probably pick apart any show, but I don't spend time doing that. I'm in for the ride, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I just want to suspend disbelief, and you know, I mean, I thought about the same thing with the clothes and you know how good they look. I was like, you know what, it's probably just the thing where you know the studios like, you know what, people don't want to watch dirty people, like, you know, like all messed up the whole time. They're going to make them look a little pretty, and which is fine. You know, I can get past that as long as the story is good, and it definitely is really good. I was really surprised by that show because it's one of those shows. Because I'm not a big J.J. Abrams fan. It is J.J. Abrams, isn't it? Or
yeah, that's what I think thought. It is. Yeah.
That's I'm not a big J.J. Abrams fan. I was like, oh, well. Whatever, I'll try it. It looks, you know, everyone's, you know, kind of excited about it, and I was really blown away. I had no expectations.
Yeah, that's kind of how. I mean, I was excited about when I saw the trailer, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen, and I was kind of bummed out that the one guy got killed right in the beginning, in the first episode, because I really like him as an actor. But wow, you know, the show has really. I mean, once I saw the production of the fight scenes and the amount of effort they put into that to making that. Look as good as it did. I was like, yeah, I'm in this for the long haul. Because you know what? I'm a guy. I like a good fight scene. You know, simple as that. I like to see some people fighting. Somebody got to die. I'm down with that, you know?
Oh, yeah. The fight scenes are awesome. I'm glad they went with, you know, the swords and the people aren't, like, everyone's not running around with a gun. They're really making that, like, a valuable commodity. And, you know, I thought that was really interesting.
So when you're watching all these shows, I mean, are you DVRing them or are you buying them from iTunes? Are you, you know, watching them on the website? I mean, how do you consume your content?
Right now, well, for a while, we switched, basically cut the cable and we do it three ways. We have a Netflix subscription and then we have a Hulu Plus subscription. And then for the other stuff, like AMC stuff or... we love Sons. We get season passes and watch them through iTunes. But because we had Dish Network for like almost 8 years, and we've been trying to get a DVR box or not DVR box, a new HD box. We've had DVR forever, and every year they're like, okay, your upgrade's coming next year. Your upgrade's coming 6 months, and so finally we're like, okay, we want our upgrade. Like, what's going on? Long story short, they weren't giving it to us. They wanted us to pay like this ridiculous amount to basically buy the recorder. So we're like, you know, we're just going to switch to DirecTV. They're like, okay, fine. And so we canceled it. And then the night we were about to order, like I had all the things set up and I picked up all my receivers and I was really excited. And then I started like breaking it down and just like the cost and like the shows that we actually watch. And like, we're going to spend like a lot of money on this, and we're not watching very much of it. This is what we can watch through all these different sources and basically save a bunch of money. So we ended up actually just not continuing any sort of provider service, and then we just do that now, and it's been working really good. I mean, the only thing I slightly miss out on is, you know, the nights of the like premieres for stuff. Like, I have to wait till the next day before it hits Hulu, but I still get it, and they've toned down the commercials so they don't drive me crazy as much.
Yeah, that's Dish Network is not, again, just my opinion. They are just have really, because that's who I had. And then We switched to DirecTV only because they bundled with our phone bill, and I ended up saving so much money that we switched there. And now they've unbundled it, and if my daughter didn't watch all the stuff that she watches, I would just cancel it and just do it the way you're doing. I would just, you know, watch it through a season pass or whatever, because, you know, don't get me wrong, DirecTV has been real good to me. I mean, you know, you know, when I wanted to get new HD receivers and they wanted to charge me, and I said, well, I don't even own the receivers. You get a receiver, you don't own it. You only lease it. And I said, well, I'm not even going to own them, so I'm not going to give you any money for them, you know. And the workaround was that because now that all my local stations were now in HD, they were going to allow me to get the local stations through the receiver in order to get them in HD. So I was able to write off the receivers. They didn't have to, you know, I didn't have to pay anything for them. And, you know, the installation went great, you know. And as much as I like the DVR and stuff, you know, and as much as I like TV, the fact of the matter is I have so many DVDs and shows that I bought through different means that, you know, I'm good. I don't need to, you know, the season pass thing really works for me when you break it down. You know, it's like 30 some bucks. And if you only watch, you know, say 5 or 6 shows, I mean, yeah, it's 30 bucks and you gotta, you know, that's a lot, might be a lot of money up front, but over the course of the year, you're saving a lot of money, you know, to be able to watch this stuff. Great. And I also use the Apple TV. Somebody gave me an Apple TV and, you know, don't get me wrong, I love it. It's not something I would have gone out and bought on my own. My Blu-ray player actually does more than my Apple TV, but the Apple TV just does it with style. It is just so easy to use. And any video that's on my phone or my computer, I just hit a button and it's playing on the TV. Now, I don't have my MacBook isn't new enough that I could span a desktop, but if I buy a program called AirParrot, it's like $10, I can actually span the desktop and watch some of the other stuff, you know, some of the other streaming stuff. And it's also fantastic. Like when I'm using, doing my photos and stuff, I put my photos on a big screen and really get a good look at them, you know, see what, see if there's any pixelation, if there's anything going on. But honestly, the most fun that I've had with it is like, you know, now with my phone, I take videos because my daughter plays in the band. And then when I come home, rather than passing the phone around or sending it to everybody, I was like, well, let's just put it on the TV and one click and there it is, you know, yeah. I love it. I mean, it's just fantastic. And at the season premieres, iTunes offered a whole bunch of for free, and I downloaded all of them, and still haven't made my way through all those. And just click a button, and it's on my TV, and it looks fantastic. I mean, I just can't get over how good it looks.
Yeah.
So I love my. It's great. It's absolutely fantastic. You know.
Man, it's the same reason that you like hit the nail on the head with the interfaces. Because I have a Blu-ray player in my bedroom. We have a Blu-ray player in our bedroom, and it has like there's like, you know, a million different options, but just the way that the Apple TV, like the way it's laid out, it's just super easy. It just makes a lot of sense. And so we're not thinking if we want to get a second one for the bedroom. That part's a little hard to justify because the Blu-ray player does like play Netflix and Hulu and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's an extra, you know, $130 to kind of have just the way it looks. But yeah, no, I love it for the way it looks. And like I use the AirPlay feature all the time. Like I was taking videos of my daughter, and then I was like, oh, okay. And when our family comes over, and then we've been getting a lot of visitors, and like you said, I don't have to pass the phone around. I just go click, click, and it's on the screen. And they're seeing it in a second. So
yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's a great little and like I said, like, you know, Netflix works. Well, Netflix on my Blu-ray works about as good as the Apple TV. Apple TV is still a little bit slicker, but the YouTube on the Blu-ray player is a pain in the butt. But on the Apple TV, it is just so easy to use. And I'll just go online, and now that I have the old YouTube app on the phone was kind of dated and didn't work very well. The new one works much better. And I just go online and make a playlist of different things I want to see, and then if there's nothing on TV, I'll just throw it up and I'm able to watch a couple of videos. And I really like it when I'm trying to watch like instructive videos on how to do things. I can just do it so much easier from, you know, from the Apple TV. It's just a lot slicker. That's all that there is on there, and you know, we can all see it if we want to see something. I mean, it's a great little thing. Those people out there that have cut the cable and still want to get Netflix and things like that. I mean, I know Roku makes a box, but for $99, man, you can't beat the Apple TV. It is nice and small. It was easy to set up. I mean, you just plugged it in, you're good to go. And I dig it, man. I being able to stream stuff from my computer, is fantastic. I mean, there's a couple different ways to do that, but I mean, I have a lot of my home videos. I've been re-encoding them. I've been saving an archive version, but I've been re-encoding them into H.264 in a higher format, and then I can just put all those in iTunes and play all those through there as well. You know, and so it works really well. And we're getting closer and closer to that one box kind of deal, you know, as everybody kind of comes together on what they want to do. Now, if we could only get apps for the Apple TV so we could watch all the network stuff, you know, that would be fantastic, you know, to be able to do that. But my big thing is if I could actually get a decent DVR, I can get several of the stations over the air in HD. I mean, I actually built my own antenna out of a piece of wood and some hangers. And it works really well, and the quality is actually better than what I get on over DirecTV. But it's just a matter of getting a DVR together, and I'm like, is it really worth the hassle for doing that? And I don't know if it is or not. You know, if I could take it and I could if I could record it in H.264, and then I can just play it on any TV, you know, that would be cool. You know.
Yeah, I know that. What you call it, like TiVo's box. I've heard really good things about like their box. You can just kind of buy those outright, but I think you have to pay a little bit, which I don't understand that part of it, but you have to pay a little bit like each month, like subscription. But I found out, or I heard that the way you can manage your DVR through TiVo is really nice because they have like web-enabled apps or like channel apps you can download, just like start recording, stop recording, organize your stuff. It's supposed to work real good, but I've never really looked into it.
Yeah, I know that they sell the lifetime subscription. A lot of people got that. It was a little bit more money up front, but it's nice to have, because you're basically paying for the guide so that you can go in and say, record this. But for me, if I'm getting it over antenna, I'm only getting like maybe four stations, so I don't really need that. You know what I mean? I can just look it up online and record it that way. But, you know, it's just a combination of ease of use and economics is what you got to come down to. You know what I mean? And the TV is, you know, music has it, you know, after all this time, you know, they finally got it together. And I got to say that, you know, comics, you know, I use Comixology all the time for my comic purchases and I love it. I mean, it's easy. I can read on anything I have here. And, you know, I just buy the stuff when it's on sale. I mean, that's what I do. I wait for the sales and, I wait for 99 cents or less, and I just bought the first 50 issues of Grim Fairy Tales. They had a sale where they had 25 issue omnibus, and they had the first two, and it came with those plus like bonus material and like three or four other comics they put out. So it's like 55 issues of things that cost me $40. And yeah, you can't beat that. The only thing is like when they're on sale, it's only on sale for a couple days. So you got to kind of buy it up, you know, while you can before it goes back off sale, you know. But I love it. I mean, and they have it down. And I know that some people complain that, you know, well, you know, Comixology kind of has the market, the corner on the market right now. But, you know, their stuff works. I don't have any problems with it at all. You know, it does what it's supposed to do. And I'm really digging it. I mean, that's, you know. And I could, like I said, I cut the cord on my TV. If it wasn't for my daughter. I talk about it all the time, and she just kind of looks at me because she watches a lot of shows on a lot of learning channels and stuff. But I wouldn't have any trouble getting rid of it. You know, it's not, you'd say, well, you know, you couldn't get live news, but I just view my local news's website anyway. I don't even watch the video on there. I just read the stories, and if I want to know more, then I investigate it. You know, but you know, that's what works for me. You know, so it's an interesting times we're living in. You know, we have a lot of content and a lot of ways to receive that content. And it's not only that there's so much content all over the place, it's just that all the different ways of viewing the content, I think it really frustrates some of the networks because they're trying to get everybody to be in the same place at the same time to view stuff. And it's just not going to work that way, you know?
And no, it's not going to work. It's just, you know, it's just like the whole thing with Sons of Anarchy and like getting the ratings up for, you know, the you know, the fact that it airs, and you know, that's what they're using as a measuring stick to say the success. It's just so many people they're not doing that's not the way they want to watch it. They want to do a season pass, or you know, they want to wait until the DVD comes out and then just watch the whole season. So I mean, I really think it's going to force the networks to change the way they go about it, because so many people, especially like digitally, they want to watch it digitally and they want to watch it like how they want to watch it. It's not fair to judge a show on, an old way of thinking when so many people are watching it. They're just watching a different way.
Yeah, and they're trying so hard to try to make it a social event. But the problem is, even with like apps like Get Glue, it's like I can put on there 3 days later that I'm watching Sons of Anarchy and people will still respond to me because they either saw the episode or they're now watching it, or some people are a week behind. It's kind of nice to be able to talk to your friends about whatever was on TV or, getting, but I can't tell how many times I go to work and we all have DVRs and it's like, hey, did you catch this last night? They're like, nah, I watched this, but I didn't have time to watch this and, I'll catch it tomorrow or whatever. And then on one hand, I'm like, man, I wish you'd have watched it because I really want to talk about it. But on the other hand, it's like, that's kind of the nice thing is like, I can come home from work and have the stuff on the DVR that I wanted to see. And before, like when we had VCRs, it's like, you only record one thing at a time. So, you had to still watch what you were, you can only record so many things, and then you had to rewind the tape, and you end up missing some stuff. And it's nice to be able to have the option to watch everything, but at the same point in time, you're like, man, I'm watching, have all this stuff to watch, I'm never going to get caught up, but it kind of does make you separate out what you really like. It makes you really think about it,
Yeah, it's an interesting time because I remember way back when it was hit or like not hit or miss, but there's so few shows that were out there that you really you really had to look hard for what you wanted, and you're like really looking forward to like one thing coming on, I remember one like sci-fi show that always sticks to my mind was the original V, and like that's the real like nostalgic like place in my heart. But now it's just like there's so many good shows. You really have to like think about like what you want to watch, what you want to invest in, because there are so many it's a good time to be a geek right now, and a nerd and all that kind of stuff, and sci-fi nerd, and because it's what people are excited about, and there's so much out there.
Yeah, that's the thing is as sci-fi fans, we used to watch anything that was science fiction because there was so little. Now there's so much. It's become so mainstream that and they figured out that you can tell. Before it was like, well, if we're going to do a science fiction show, then what we have to do is we have to have spacey stuff and we have to have laser guns and we have it's going to be a big production. Now it's like you have a show like Alpha, which Alpha's which is clearly science fiction, but it's carried by the drama of you don't have to have the action every episode. You did It's carried by the characters and the drama and having a conversation, and it's still science fiction. That's what I like about it, Really come a long way from where they were. I mean, I'm just so happy with it.
Yeah, me too. It's like you said, like way back, we used to watch like anything. I remember, putting on like getting a movie and renting it. I'm like, this is gonna be horrible, but I'm still gonna watch it because there's just so little out there, and anything you get your hands on, you're just like watching. And I think that's where I think a lot, at least for me, like a lot of like nostalgia was built up, is because like for me, I ended up watching the same sci-fi movie like over and over again, or show, because it was like it wasn't that much. Like I remember like Dune. I've seen that movie like a million times. I love it, but I mean I watched that I don't know how many times.
Yeah, and now you have people that specialize in finding bad movies so that they can share it with everybody else. Before we didn't have a choice, now we choose to go and find crappy movies to watch so we can ridicule them and laugh, And it's kind of funny the way things have kind of turned around, But like I said, as far as the science fiction aspect, I mean, I'm glad that's mainstream. I'm glad that there's still bad and good stuff out there. You can still have a science fiction aspect to a show and have it be bad. And I like the fact that we still have all those choices, but I'm just digging the ability to watch what I want to watch, for the most part when I want to watch it without having to wait or and it's a surprise. I can't say it's surprising to me, but there are a lot of people that I know. It's becoming more and more common. People are cutting the cords and just getting internet and doing what they want to do. I got a friend of mine who has a who has a cable account, and he wanted to watch. He uses on demand for pretty much everything, and he watches everything on demand. And he wanted to watch the new Suns, and it wasn't on demand, and he was ticked off. And so he called and canceled the. He's like, I just want to cancel the cable part. He's like, I want to keep the internet. He said, I have no problem with that. He's like, but there's no sense in me, paying for this if I can't watch the shows that I want to watch? He's like, there's no sense in me having, he's like, because I don't watch it. I don't have a DVR. He just has the on-demand feature. And it's like, that was kind of the point of not getting a DVR, the fact that, I have all this stuff on demand. Like for me, it's like I hardly ever surf television anymore. I kind of go in, have my timer set, and they're there for years. And then, every time a new show comes on, it records. Like Grimm, I forgot that it was coming back in August, and luckily my timer was there from last year, and it hadn't recorded it. And another good show that's I'm really digging. It took a little while to get there, but I'm really enjoying it now.
I have to go back. I have to go back and watch that show. And I started in the beginning, right when it came out. I was like, and for me, it was like you said. It's like kind of it was taking a while to get going, and I just couldn't get behind it, so I kind of dropped it. And then my wife actually picked it up, and she's like, well, well, she's like, let's watch the show. Let's watch it. I'm like, no, let's watch this. And so I kept on doing that, and then finally got to a place when she was she took off for. Her leave before the pregnancy, and so she started watching it, and she got way far ahead. She's like, "This show's awesome! You should really go back and watch it again." And I hear what you're saying. I'm like, "Oh, okay, I'll go back and watch it." So, I'm not really watched much of that show, but it's definitely one that I want to go back to watch now, and I know it's going to pick up.
Yeah, it kind of t it really does take to like the last like 5 episodes. Of the first season to really get going. The first season reminds me a lot of the first season of Babylon 5. It's like there's a lot of throwaway stuff, but the little nuggets of information you pick up in each episode, you kind of need those to have a full grasp on where it's going now. But the whole like political undercurrent of this ends up coming into play, and it's just taking a long time to build it up and say, okay, well, we know this guy's in charge of this, and we know this guy knows about the underground over here, and this guy knows about this political faction. When are they all going to do something with it? And then finally they do, and you're like, oh, okay, now it's all making sense. Now it's all coming together. And that's kind of what I look for. But there's just, and also, was it Happily Ever After? Is that it? Is that the other
So,
show?
once upon a time.
Once Upon a Time. I knew it was one of those, either the beginning or the ending phrase. I'm woefully behind on that. I didn't even finish out the first season, and I wouldn't mind going back and trying to rewatch it. It was kind of slow going for me in a lot of ways, and I just kind of got away from it. But I have all of season 2 so far on my DVR. I just haven't jumped in and watched it. Just one of the million things. And then and the thing is, with everybody streaming everything and buying digital downloads and stuff, I mean, DVDs are dirt cheap. You give them a couple months and they're dirt cheap, and it's just like I keep coming across these sales, and I'm like, I'm buying this. I bought Stargate Atlantis months ago, and it was like $40 for the entire series, and I'm like, it's still sitting here, and I keep thinking, I want to watch it. I want to watch it, but I just haven't gotten around to it. Maybe once the weather gets colder, and I have to do more inside working out rather than walking outside, then I'll try it. But
That is interesting. I was thinking with the cost of stuff, because I was looking for Super, and I wanted to buy Super the movie, or I want to at least watch it, and like $20 on iTunes, and then finding I found it for like $10 on Blu-ray. It's like crazy. But yeah, I definitely know what you mean.
yeah, it just and it's like and like we'll go to the store, like we'll go to Walmart to get groceries or something, and I'll go to the